Our first scripture lesson today is from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. This Ascension Sunday, as we prepare for Pentecost next week, this is probably a verse that is familiar and yet not so familiar. I encourage you to listen closely to these words. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over the course of 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up towards heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
Our next scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Luke. It is actually the prequel to the reading we just heard in the section of scripture that most biblical scholars have come to know as Luke Acts. But now we back up just a little bit into the last portion of the Gospel of Luke, and we hear a similar story to what we had before. So now I invite you to listen to the reading from Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 53. Then he said to them, this is Jesus talking to his disciples, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, and for the word within us. Thanks be to God. Jesus has left the building. Some people are familiar with that phrase as a cultural phrase of an important person leaving or something becoming absent. This actually was originated years ago, back when Elvis Presley used to do concerts. And the crowd would just be so excited while Elvis Presley was performing. And they would just be in a frenzy. And he would leave the stage and it would still be in a frenzy. And then the announcement would come over the PA system. Elvis has left the building. And as soon as that announcement was made, the crowd became quiet because Elvis had left the building. It was just as if we had turned the signal off to our televisions the way we used to, and all we saw was a test pattern. Well, the scripture readings we have today are sort of stories that take place during the test pattern. Jesus has left the building, but what will happen next after the test pattern leaves the screen? My friends, Jesus was never confined to a building. The stories that we have been reading over the past few weeks of Easter, the stories of Jesus' post-resurrection appearances, have been stories of the risen Christ coming and going, appearing, disappearing, being mistaken for other people. By this time in the story, and over in Acts it tells us that this occurred over in about 40 days. By this time in the story, you would think the disciples were used to this. You never know where Jesus is going to pop up, where the risen Christ is going to show up, and who you might mistake the risen Christ for. And then just as suddenly as the risen Christ has shown up in someone's life, poof, Christ is gone. Left the building again, so to speak. You would think the disciples would be used to this by now, this coming and going of the risen Christ. And we encounter this story in the Gospel of Luke and then retold in the first chapter of Acts of Jesus gathering with his disciples on a hillside near Bethany. And he makes one last disappearance. But he doesn't leave them alone. He gives them instructions. He says, wait, go back into Jerusalem, wait. The angels give the disciples instructions in that Acts reading. I just love it when Jesus is gone and the disciples are still looking up at the sky. And the angels say, or the men in white, I think they're described as, they say, why are you looking up in the sky? Christ is not there. Go into Jerusalem. This is where you will encounter Christ. Right here on good old terra firma. This is where we encounter the presence of Christ. And we continue to encounter the presence of Christ. I want to focus on one little phrase at this point that comes from these readings. And it says, Jesus tells his disciples, you will see me come again in the same manner that you saw me leave. Now, this has been interpreted in many ways. One of the ways that 19th and 20th century Christians interpreted this was that there was going to be some great coming of Christ in the sky, appearing in the sky and coming in the same way that he left on this hillside. This is a very literal understanding of the story. But if we really look at the text closely and we look at it from a much more symbolic and metaphorical way, the way that Jesus and our scriptures really teach us, we discover that Jesus is saying, you will see me come and go just as you have seen me come and go, in the same manner. I've shown you how you're going to experience me in all of these post-resurrection appearances. You're going to experience me in one another. I will come and go in the same manner as you see here, unexpected and in different ways. And I will leave you just as quickly. But it's up to us to open our lives to a point where we can begin to recognize the presence of Christ around us, because the presence of Christ is always with us. The presence of Christ is always with us. In the parting speech Jesus gives his disciples over in the Gospel of Matthew, he says to them, I will be with you always. Christ never leaves us. The presence of God never leaves. And to put it in the phrase that we began with this morning, God never leaves the building. Because God is the building. God is outside the building. God is everything and everywhere at all times. And as we read at the beginning of our worship service this morning, from that saint of the Orthodox Church, that the church itself is the presence of God in the community of humans. Which means the church is ever present and eternal. The presence of God within the community of people. This is the church, my friends. God is the church, and the church is God in us and through us. The most absurd notion that any of us have heard in the course of all the absurdity flying around us is that the church has been closed. The church can't be closed. And if the church can't be closed, it can't be reopened. And I don't know about you, but the churches that I have been in contact with, the congregations I have been in contact with, the individuals that I have communicated with, have been continuing to be the church. We continue to reach out to others. We continue to serve others. We continue to share the good news of the gospel in our actions and our words. We continue to worship in many different ways. Of course, we have not been able to come into our buildings and do things in traditional ways according to the institution of the church. But that's not the real church, to use the expression. Church is us. You and me, all of us, as the presence of God, as the presence of Christ in the world. We don't open and close it at the whim of an economy, at the whim of a virus. We are the presence of Christ. I would suggest to us today that we contemplate this, that we hold on to it, because there are voices in our culture today clamoring to bring us back into our buildings. When in fact, what has probably happened during this time is the church has begun to discover an unbounded reality that we had not even experienced, many of us, because we had been confined to buildings. My hope and my dream, and dare I say, my vision for the church, is that we will never, ever be confined back in our buildings. Yes, we will come together in places of worship, for activities, for worship, but we have discovered the unbounded church that is the presence of love and grace and mercy and justice for all people. I don't know about you, but this is a glorious revelation to me. We will come back together in our buildings one day. Some people already have. There are others of us who are taking this much more slowly. And we're doing it out of love for one another. We're doing it out of a social responsibility for justice in our world. There will be a day when we can come back together, but it will be different. We're not exactly sure what that difference will be, but I know one thing, and I know it deep in my soul. We have discovered what it's really like for the gospel of Jesus Christ to leave the building. Amen. My friends, this closing hymn in some ways seems rather paradoxical to the comments I've made this morning. This seems to be an escapist hymn that wants to get us away from the earth. Not really. I want to share something with you about the origins of this hymn. And this is a short paragraph from our hymnal here in our sanctuary. It says, "While ostensibly based on Elijah's ascent into heaven, this African-American spiritual also communicates the enslaved people's hope that they might find deliverance across the river into free states beyond the Ohio River. This is a song of liberation here and now. And so as we think of this coming and going of the Spirit, this coming and going of the risen Christ that we have been talking about for the past few weeks, let us imagine this as the ever presence of Christ here and now with us. And this is what we are as the church, the presence of the eternal God in Christ. Let us go into our lives today knowing that we are the church, open for business. Amen.